Morning. I'm Steph, and I am sharing today for today's EMP devotional. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John 17. We're going to read the entire chapter from 1 to 26. The High Priestly Prayer. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I ask on your behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all these things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's pray first. Father God, we just thank you for today, and we thank you for just a new day. And we also thank you for your love and just unconditional blessings that you give us. We just pray for, we also pray for David and Diana Liu from the Joyful Harvest Fellowship. And we just pray over just the words and the devotion that they have prepared and the insights from the passage, Lord. We just pray that your revelation would come and then your spirit would just... give a peace and just a understanding, Lord, so we may be able to understand more of your character and more of your heart, Lord. And we just thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So I'll first read the devotion that was prepared based on this passage. The passage was called the High Priestly Prayer. So Jesus' final petition to his Father before he faced crucifixion is not only just a prayer for the disciples, but for us also. Although Jesus' mission ended with, "It is finished," he promises here that he will continue to make the Father known, in order that the Father's love for the Son may be in us. The Holy Spirit will co-labor with Christ to eventually reveal his agape love to us from now into eternity. This beautiful prayer reveals how much Jesus loves his Father and how much he loves us. It gives us a glimpse into an intimate conversation of an obedient son asking his adoring Father for a special favor and protection for his special friends. We who are believers, past and present, and even extending to those who will believe someday. Will the Father's heart not be moved by the pleas on your behalf of his precious son about to be crucified? Even at this moment, seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus is asking the Father to give you the same things he asked for then in John 17. Revelation of the Father, words of life, protection for unity, the full measure of Jesus' joy, protection from the evil one, sanctification, commissioning, the glory that the Father gave his Son, complete and visible unity that the world may believe, to be with Jesus in the future, to see his glory, to have the love of the Father in us, and finally, that Jesus himself may be in us. What more can we ask for? In verse 10, Jesus declares, "And glory has come to me through them." Is it not amazing that we, insignificant figures of dust, can glorify Christ and in turn the Father? So before I go into the reflections that was written, I just kind of wanted to share my thoughts on reading John 17. So this was actually, I had to read it a couple of times because I felt it was, you know, there's so much into it, and especially from the devotion, you can see like every verse had a different element of this high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed. But some of the notes that I kind of got from it, and to expand on it, was that this is an entire chapter in the Bible that was devoted to revealing the intimate dialogue between a son and a father. And it's kind of relevant because we're talking about sonship now and just kind of heart, knowing the heart of a father and having the heart of a son. And I thought this was, you know, a really good snapshot of the intimacy that a son was pleading with the father or dialoguing with the father. Another thing that stood out to me was that this is a prayer for his disciples. So he, you know, he's being led to be crucified very soon, well knowing that, but yet he's still dedicating so much of his effort to pray on behalf of his disciples and to make sure that they are taken care of. The things that he was praying for specifically for his disciples were to be guarded from Satan's attack. And he acknowledges that Satan rules the world, and that his disciples, in the passage, actually, they were kind of capitalized. So when it says, like he would say in verse 10, "All things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them." So when he was referring to that, he was referring to the disciples, and well knowing that he wanted them to continue, but knowing that they needed to be guarded from Satan's attack. In verse 3, he was talking about eternal life, and basically he was reminding that, it says, "This is," in verse 3, "this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." In verse 5, he pleads with God, and he tells God, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." He is basically praying that he wants to be back to his original place of honor, which is seated at the right hand of God. In verse 10, like I read, Jesus mentions that he was glorified in them, And basically, them is the disciples. And disciples, it's a good snapshot here because it says, it's basically saying that disciples reveal the character and presence of whomever their leader is. When I was reading it too, kind of some things that God revealed to me was in terms of unity. It says a lot in unity from verse 11 onwards. He was saying that unity, basically, when we are unified in the Father, it's a lot easier for us to be unified together. And this is something that, you know, I was kind of, you know, it's a lesson that I've been learning as well. Because knowing that there is so much schemes of the enemy in this earth, there is so much disunity that's can come. And one of the reflection questions I'll say that came out of this was, there is no excuse for disunity, for not knowing the Father, for being able to resist temptation, because the Son has asked for you and the Father has granted. All of the above are yours. So Jesus knew the schemes of the enemy. He knew that a devil would use any attempt to take apart his disciples after he left, knowing that they would be in the world, they were commissioned to go out. So he, foreknowing, he already was praying for this. And I think that says a testimony of what's still going on today, right? If we're talking about, you know, in the church or people or any body, there's always going to be some element of disunity or someone not agreeing with someone else. So Jesus loved his disciples, and he wanted them to have the unity that would actually spread and show that he loved, that his disciples, everything he had passed on to his disciples was actually being shown. And this is something that, you know, I wanted to keep it real. So I was going to share, you know, a little bit about what I've been learning about unity. So last year, around this time, I think I already knew that God was telling me, maybe I was grudgingly trying to acknowledge it, but he was telling me that Ricky and I should step up and serve in a ministry together. And specifically, it was house church. And I was, you know, fighting it for many, many months because I was saying, oh, I, you know, just started a new job and it's too many things to take on. But, you know, it was something that the Lord kind of continued to prod at my heart. And it became so heavy that I was like, at one point I just said, we have to do it. I can't, you know, fight it anymore. So it was, you know, I thought it was a really good decision that we made, because I wanted to see how Ricky and I would work as a team. We'd often, you know, did different things, and, you know, it was great, but I think it was a good opportunity that God was saying that I want to show, you know, the both of you how you work together. So we decided to, you know, pray about it. Then house church started, and, you know, I think to be very honest, it was probably one of the toughest times in our marriage, probably, because, you know, and I wasn't expecting it. I thought it would be, you know, it's great, we're serving God together, it would be so unified, and it actually was the total opposite. And it was very apparent, because, you know, leading up to house church, maybe the couple days before, it would be, you know, just out of the blue, sometimes it wouldn't even be about house church things, it would be about, you know, something at home, and it would kind of disrupt the whole flow of how we work together, even, and it would bring it into Thursday nights, because we meet at Thursday nights, and, you know, it just, or even after house church, sometimes there would just be this unsettling thing in my heart where I would, you know, I'm going to talk about the schemes of the enemy, right, and a lot of fears, a lot of lies, a lot of doubts that would just creep into my head, and, you know, this went on for quite a long time, maybe a month or two, and then I think we finally realized, hey, there's something going on here that's not just me, and it's not just you, just like how Jesus was praying in this high priestly prayer, knowing that his disciples were going to be doing the work, and they are going to be tested and tried, and the devil has all certain ways to stop them. So this was actually something that I think when we acknowledged, it was almost like a light switch went on, and I thought, oh, it's so obvious, right? Like, it's so obvious that disunity is something that would disrupt something that God had called us to do. And, you know, it wasn't until I realized it that I started identifying so many things that were lies or doubts about the way that we worked, which is not true, and it was definitely something that we had to pray over. And, you know, just even hearing when I was reading John 17, I just thought, this is so much, it shows so much about the love of Jesus, that he would think on this behalf, think on our behalf, whether it's his disciples at that time or even future present Christians, that he would know to pray on our behalf, that we would be able to acknowledge that there's schemes of the enemy, but also be able to reflect his character and his presence. So I just thought that that was kind of something that maybe we can be reminded today, is just that there is a lot of, you know, disunity, but there's an even greater purpose in that Jesus is praying on our behalf, and he's, you know, even he's seated at the right hand of the Father now, praying on our behalf for unity. Another kind of thing that was a question for me after reading this passage, and it was a question that I just gave myself for reflection, but how are we as disciples glorifying and revealing his character and presence? I just wrote that down because it was something that when I read this, I thought the word disciple is just such a big word, and there's so many things that can follow under it, what a good disciple means. And the fact that Jesus had these disciples, and these disciples were the ones that were on his heart leading up to crucifixion, is something that, you know, really challenged me, is to be able to have the heart of what Jesus had in mind. So with that, the last reflection from this devotion is: receive and glorify Christ by demonstrating to the world a rare unity and a rare love. The King of Glory lives in you. Glorious and majestic Father, who deserves all glory and praise, I pray that I may demonstrate unity, joy, and sanctification so that your Son, who lives in me, may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, it is compared to your glory, oh Lord. Lord, who am I compared to your majesty? I am your beloved, your creation. And you love me as I am. You have called me chosen for your kingdom. Unashamed to call me your own. I am your Lord, it was you. Lord, it was you. Created the heaven. Lord, it was your hand. Put the stars in their place. Lord, it is your voice that commands the morning, even oceans in their ring bow at your feet. Lord, who am I compared to your glory? Oh Lord, Lord, who am I compared to your majesty? I am your beloved, your creation. And you love me as I am. You have called me chosen for your kingdom. Unashamed to call me your own. I am your beloved, your creation. And you love me as I am. You have called me chosen for your kingdom. Unashamed to call me your own. I am your beloved. I am your beloved.
Let's pray for the people in our church who have sickness, specifically cancer. Let's pray for Mary Westrate's father, PSAM's mentor, Pastor Keith, PSAM's aunt. Archie Lin's father, Lois Choi, Kevin Lee's father, Ellie Oys, Connie Yoon's father. So let's just pray right now and lift them up, that the Father's healing hand would just come into every aspect, wherever their illness is, Lord. So we just pray. We also pray for those who are going through chemo, their radiation therapy, transplants. We just pray for hands over doctors, hands over nurses, just wisdom. We pray for the families of these people as well. Let's also pray for those who have other illnesses and also for their salvation as well. Yeah, we pray for cancers, we pray for dementias, we pray for any chronic illnesses. We pray for every part of these bodies. We pray for the family members as well, Lord. Just we pray that everyone on this list, that their families would come to know you more through these situations. Let's pray for PSAM's mentor. We pray for Tracy Wang's uncle, Sarah Cho's friend, Karen To, Jason and CY's son, Aiden. Let's pray for Thaddeus's mom, Hedon's father, Eunice's mother, Andrew's father, Becky's mom, Annette's mom, Suyin and Jackie's friend, Ida. We just pray over all of their infirmities, whether they're developmental, whether they are recovering from things, from surgeries. We just pray for peace and healing. Let's also lift up people who are in job situations or looking for a job. Let's just pray for just a piece of understanding and just for the right doors to be open, that the Lord would be able to reveal exactly where and what they want these people to do. So we pray for Angela. Let's pray for Jeff, Paul, Elaine, Dave, Ed, and John Lee. Let's also lift up our Indonesian ministry. Febe, let's also lift up the SP people in Singapore. Also pray for the areas in which for Indonesia and Singapore as well, just for the whatever political or any persecution that's going on in those areas of Christians. Let's just lift up those areas as well in the world. Let's lift up Noah's Ark, SPU, and the University College students. Pray for every stage of development in each one of those groups, and that the Lord would just encounter and continue to work in the lives of the youth, college students, and even the kids. Let's pray for the people who serve in those ministries as well, that you would give them energy, you would give them patience, supernatural patience, to be able to really, be disciples and show God's love. Let's pray for the families and marriages at SP. Just pray for just any disunity that might be between family, within families, or within married couples, that the Holy Spirit would just work its healing, restoration. You would protect existing families and marriages that are open to any attack of the enemy. So we just pray for covering over all the families and marriages. Let's also lift up this weekend. Let's lift up tomorrow's both Sunday services, Noah's Ark, the worship, hospitality, SP Youth, any outreaches that are going on, discipleship classes, any meetings, and the prison ministry that's going on this morning, and the Xijiang mission training. Let's just pray that all the leaders and everyone who's involved would just be able to come and serve, and also that your Spirit would just be in every aspect of those activities. Let's pray for the house churches that are meeting, Bel Air, Robinson Family, and Mac Daddy. Father God, we just thank you so much just for who you are, and just, you know, reminding us that you were the high priest and that you really came on our behalf. You sacrificed yourself. You endured so much. But yet, in the midst of all that, you still thought and acted on our behalf. And we just thank you for just the love that you continually give us, the love that we don't deserve. We just pray over every aspect of this church, Lord, and we just thank you for blessing us with space. We thank you for blessing us with just your anointing and your spirit, Lord. We just pray continually that you would continue to reveal more, that your spirit would just come and guide us, Lord. Yeah, we also pray just for the rest of this week, you know, leading up to Easter, and that you would continually remind us as well, Lord, just to, you know, like we said today, just unity, sanctification, just to be on guard for any schemes of the enemy. We just pray protection over this church. We pray protection over the leaders and the pastors as well. Yeah, and we just commit this next week into your hands, Lord. And we just thank you. In your name we pray.